Sodana samaranam bhajavasudevam. Vilasa,
enjoyment.
Bhaktya,
by devotional service,
karma,
fruit of activities,
asaya,
desire,
agratitam,
heart not,
udgratayanti,
root out,
santa,
devotees,
never.
Rikta mataya. Persons devoid of devotional service.
Yataya.
Ever increasingly trying.
Api.
Even though.
Ruda.
Stopped.
Shrotagana.
Waves of sense enjoyment.
Tam.
Unto him.
Aranam.
Worthy to take shelter of.
Raja.
Engage in devotional service.
Vasudev, Krishna.
Translation: devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard knotted desires for fluid activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the wave of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. For a part, there are three kinds of transcendentalists trying to overcome the influence of the modes of material nature, the jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. All of them attempt to overcome the influence of the senses, which is compared to the incessant waves of an ocean. And the waves of a river flow incessantly, and it is very difficult to stop them. Similarly, the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong they cannot be stopped by any process other than bhakti yoga. The bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service under the lotus feet of the Lord, become so overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that automatically desires for material enjoyment stop. The jnanis and yogis, who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, simply struggle against the waves of desire. They are described in this verse as rikta mataya, which means devoid of devotional service. In other words, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to be free from desires, the desires of material activities, actually become more and more entangled in false speculation or strenuous attempts to stop the activities of the senses. As stated previously, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogita Janaya Vyasa Vairagyam Dhyanam Chayada Haitikam. Here also the same point is stressed. Vajra Vasudeva indicates that one who is engaged in loving service of Krishna, son of Vasudeva, can very easily stop the waves of desire. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. This is indicated in this verse. Desires for fruit of activities are strongly rooted, but the trees of desire can be uprooted completely by devotional service, because devotional service employs superior desire. One can give up inferior desires when engaged in superior desires. To try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the supreme in order not to be entangled in fruit of desires. Again, he's maintained a desire to become one with the supreme. But such desires also consider to be kama or lust. Similarly, a yogi's desire is to power, and that is also kama. And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated herein by the Kumaras that the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are the ultimate reservoir of all pleasures. One should therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desire for material enjoyment, there is no possibility to liberate the entangled material existence. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing and they cannot be stopped, but the waves of a river flow towards the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflowed, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves of the river. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord Krishna consciousness. The stagnant material desires become overflowed but a desire to serve the Lord. As confirmed by Jamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is always a current of new and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord, so much so that the stagnant desire of sex life becomes very insignificant. Jamunacharya even says that his disinterested desire in Bhagavad-gita also confirms Param Krishna Nivartate. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all those no desires for sense gratification. Translation: the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for food of activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the wave of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, we were advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So, in contrast to the previous verses, which have such an appearance of jnana, here we have a direct indication of bhakti. Here we have the word bhaja, to worship, and we have the word Vasudeva, Supreme Lord. And one should take shelter of him. So the initial proposition was that how do we stop the problems in the material world? How do we get out of this position of suffering in the material world? And then Sankumar explained how you have to control the senses, and uncontrolled senses lead you into material identification. And therefore you have to understand you're not the body or soul, etc. And a lot of that was jnana. But here we see that the process of stopping all the desires is simply worship of the Lord. Contrary to the idea that he's propagating jnana, he here indicates that the process of doing this, whatever is supposed to be done, that's understanding you're not the body or the atma and getting free from all your desires, the process of doing that is bhakti. So other people try to stop the desires. Karma doesn't really try to stop the desires, it limits the desires. And Jnana Yoga and Astanga Yoga, they try to stop all the desires. As Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport, it is very difficult to stop desire itself. Rather than do that, the best process is to alter the desire. So the problem with the living entities is they have desire directed towards objects for their own enjoyment. And so that is the problem. If we direct desire with a desire not to enjoy, then there's no problem. But then the problem is, well, how can we have a desire in which we don't want to enjoy it? So the only way that is done is when one expresses love or prema. So there we have a desire not to get enjoyment. We have a desire to please somebody else. So this is the only desire that is acceptable, which will not cause bondage. All the other types of desire, which are for one's own enjoyment, will lead to bondage and all sorts of ahankara and karma, etc. So the only desire is that desire to please the Lord. So in other words, bhakti is the only process of engaging desire and not stopping desire. So the attempt to stop desire, which is what the yogis and the jnanis try to do, is very difficult. Now, they can do it. They can stop the desire for material things eventually. And then they can get liberation. It can be done, but it is difficult. Because the nature of the jiva is, he's a conscious entity, and therefore, if he's conscious, he's conscious of something. And immediately he's conscious of something, then there's either one reaction or the other. It's good or bad. I like it, I don't like it. I want it or I don't want it. So as far as material, well, this is what happens. We're conscious and we see things we like or we dislike, we want, we don't want. And then immediately, this is bondage for us. This is the problem of the material world. So we get rid of that desire, which is it's difficult to do. So ultimately, in doing that, we have to restrict our consciousness. So we don't have desire. So this means we cannot observe things. Consciousness is such that it doesn't observe anything anymore. So that is why in the Brahman stage, you do not observe anything. You're merely conscious. But you're not conscious of anything. Immediately conscious is duality. So that's why Shankara says only Brahman exists, nothing else exists, and therefore you can't be conscious of anything. So it's consciousness without an object of consciousness. One can do that. In other words, you can minimize consciousness in that way and just have consciousness without the object. The other method is to remain conscious and also be conscious of things. But the only way we can do that is that not be conscious of material things, so we are conscious of spiritual things. So, we're conscious of the Supreme Lord. But consciousness in relation to material objects is we want the object or we don't want the object, like and dislike. In relation to the Supreme Lord, if we say, I want the Lord, or whatever like that, then that again becomes a problem, because he becomes the object of your desire. So one cannot express that because the Lord will never appear. If you have that desire, then the Lord does not appear. You'll get a material object instead, not the Lord. So the only way the Lord manifests is by prema. That is, we don't want to enjoy the Lord, but we want to give enjoyment to the Lord. So then he manifests. So the jiva does not have to give up or restrict consciousness. Simply he has to direct his consciousness with bhakti towards the Supreme Lord. Then he becomes successful. He destroys material desires. He destroys karma. He gets out of the material world. No more suffering, etc. So the process is not to stop consciousness or restrict it in any way, but redirect it. So that is why Lord Chaitanya says, instead of kama, we have prema. So the jiva does not express kama, but rather prema. So it's transformation of desire, a redirection of desire. So that is the process of bhakti. So that is explained nicely here. The jnanis and the yogis try one method, and it is very, very difficult. They cannot stop the senses from moving. So the devotees do not stop the senses, they redirect the senses. So the senses remain active, but not for the devotees' enjoyment, for the Lord's enjoyment. And in this way, they get success. So this is actually the solution to the problem which was stated, or the question, how do we solve the problems of the material world? So you can try jnana and yoga, or even karma, but ultimately the process is bhakti. This will give us the solution in the easiest way, but it will give a better solution than karma or jnana.
One cannot become decided.
Mm-hmm. Desire is always will be there. And I'm decided to say Krishna. Yeah. So the desire is directed towards service of the Lord or pleasing the Lord rather than pleasing oneself. That is the difference.
But we see that there are people who approach the Lord for gratifying their desires. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
Well, this is similar to Devata worship.
We worship Devata to get something so we can enjoy it. So you can use the Lord like that also. So it may be tamasic bhakti or rajasic bhakti or something. That doesn't really get you out of the material world. If you do karma mishra bhakti, that's a little higher. So we actually do accept the Lord is beyond the material world, etc. worship, but we still have some material attraction. So it's a mixture. But predominantly, we understand the position of the Lord and we're trying to do that process. So that's better. Still, it is not perfect. But the best is that Sudha Bhakti, your bhakti.
But the results are material.
For the one who has tamasic bhakti or rajasic bhakti, even sattvic bhakti tend to be material. You get material results, elevation in the material world.
But when they serve the Lord, then all the material becomes the Lord first. When they serve the Lord, then all the material becomes the Lord first.
Yeah, if we serve impurity, then the process takes a long time. And that is why it says even with Namabhan, you cannot get to the spiritual world. Or you can, but then you get some Shantarasa maybe, maximum. So in order to go to the spiritual world, better to have pure bhakti, Sudha bhakti, or pure name.
You said the jnani and yogis got desires. You said jnani and yogis got desires.
Yeah.
How can they stop desires? Desires always will be there.
Well, they stop the functions of the mind and the senses. They separate themselves from the body and the senses. So then it's one jiva.
It's quite difficult for them.
Yeah, it's difficult. That's what it says here. They try, yet they are.
Not easy.
No. It takes them many lifetimes. Then explain the relation between karma and desire. What karma? Karma yoga or karma? Does one get desire due to karma? No. Oh, that karma. So that karma meaning daiva. Karma is just the reactions you get. And it's not your desires. Desires are what you choose at the moment. You may be inspired by your karma, getting a certain body and you got a certain situation in India or America or China or whatever. But the actual desire is not karma. If that were so, nothing would happen. And all your desires are karma, then I'm not responsible for my acts. So you're responsible for your desires. Karma is not responsible for that. The karma simply puts you in a position in a certain body and gives you certain results of happiness and distress. What you desire after that point is up to you. And then based on that you do activities. That's your free choice.
When you engage in fruitive activities, karma goes with that. When you engage in fruitive activities, the karma goes with that.
Yeah.
My view, when yogi is struggling in the sadhana, but still they, there are situations when they ask for things from the Lord. They have problems and then they go to the Lord and they ask for So that will also come in the category that you are treating Lord for material.
Yeah, but that can, if it's very prominent or quite prominent or let's say continuous, then it becomes mixed bhakti. If it's periodic, then it's not. So in the sense that abhilasata sunya means generally free of other desires. So if you have an accident, you say, Krishna help me, then that's not considered to be mixed bhakti, because it's not doing that. You're not doing that every day. It's only in a certain situation that you may say that. So therefore, other desires may arise, but it's not a constant thing. Therefore, it's not. It's still called pure bhakti.
My devotee in this situation asks sometimes for the Lord, and the advanced devotee never asks.
Huh?
Advanced devotee never cares.
He tolerates his karma. That's all. Has mercy of the Lord.
You know, Prabhupada tells us that daily, he writes that I am going to America, please give me the intelligence to speak their language. Yes,
well, that's not a prayer for material thing. That's a prayer for the engagement in service. It's different.
Our desire to serve, not a desire to serve the Vaishnavas in material, is seen as material.
No, that's spiritual.
Sometimes a devotee is meeting another devotee, they say, please give me a mercy. I want to serve, please help me.
No, that's okay.
Maharaj, what if other devotees ask us to pray to the Lord for their material?
Then you also become material.
Like some devotee sick, they ask, please chant the special mantra.
Well, nothing wrong with that. They can do devotional service by improving. While doing devotional service, fine, happy. But how to identify whether it is a body enjoyment or... Oh. Well, if we use the body for material enjoyment for ourselves, then it becomes material. In other words, if we're getting enjoyment simply for ourselves, that becomes material. Huh? But we do have bliss or ananda arising from bhakti. That is a result of one's prema to the Lord. Thus, the one gets a feeling of happiness there also. Huh? But that is not, it's not that we seek out, I want to be happy. That is simply a result of something else. So, in our devotional service, yes, we can feel happy. There is within even sadhana bhakti what is called subhada. So, one of the definitions of subhada is you get some sukha, not material happiness, and not the happiness of liberation, but the satisfaction of performing bhakti. So that's not the same as ananda, which comes in prema. But even in the beginning of devotional service, one gets some happiness from that. But it's not, we're not trying to get happiness for ourselves. That's not the idea behind it. But that's a natural result of the bhakti.
Now, when Prabhupada was very sick, you were praying to Krishna that Prabhupada would stay 3 years more. So we can complete translating the
Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, so as for service, there's no problem. That's not a material desire.
All the process of jnana and yoga is very difficult. So what makes the living entity keep doing it life after death?
Well, some people are attracted to that thing. Things. For instance, you can go to the Kumbh Mela and say, why are you doing this yoga? Why are you being a Naga Baba? But they like it, so they do it.
So
no one's again, nothing's going
to
persuade them otherwise.
Huh?
Oh, they have an attraction for that type of thing.
Why approaching the new devotee? Surrendering to Krishna will be spiritually progress. By that way, your material desire for the soul will be fulfilled.
Hmm?
By surrendering to the Krishna and praying to the Krishna, your spiritual progress will be there.
Yeah.
In which way your material desires also will be fulfilled. Is that?
Yeah, the Lord does that. Like for Dhruva, he gave everything. He gave a kingdom also. Dhruva wanted a kingdom greater than his father's and grandfather. He got that.
Can we approach the new devotees like that either?
Well, we don't want to encourage them to be materialistic, but in the beginning, because they do have desires, we can say that, yes, Krishna satisfies everything. And in fact, faith in the Lord means, definition is, everything is achieved by serving Krishna. That's the definition of Shraddha.
You know, Maharaj, when the material desire, after seeing that not all the material desire disappears.
Yeah.
Instead of looking into the diamond, you are looking for broken pieces of glass.
Yeah. But the Lord said, anyway, you have the desire, so I want to give it to you, so you have to take it anyway. It's all right to blame other devotees for not getting spiritual bliss. Some devotees complain they do not motivate to get spiritual because of other devotees' attitudes. Well, if the attitudes of others are very offensive or whatnot, then yes, the idea is that one has to associate with proper devotees. And if they're offensive or whatever, one should avoid people that are offenses. But we can also not blame everybody for everything. In other words, everything that happens to us, because of devotees, because of the devotees. We also have to look at our own standards and our own ability to perform bhakti. So we can't completely rely on somebody else. We also have to follow the standards and rules of bhakti.
Is it not the duty of a leader to motivate and inspire the devotees who are dependent on him?
Yeah, that's there also. But I mean, we can't depend completely. We also have to have our own determination to bhakti. As I said, sangha is important, but at the same time, we cannot simply say, well, I will do nothing, I will just have sangha make me advance in devotional service. We have to do something.
Yantras is one part of the key.
பார்க்க மாட்டேங்கிறேன் பார்க்குறோம் பார்த்தா இங்கேருந்து வருது.